Blog Talk Radio.
LifeQuest Christian Network.
Welcome to Reflecting His Gifts. I'm Sissy Ellison, your host, and I believe that every person can have a God-given purpose, a gift or a talent, a testimony that is meant to impact this world for the good and bring glory and honor to God. Our life stories, no matter what they are, can become God's stories of victory and triumph. It's always wonderful to see someone using their God-given gift or their testimony to make the world a better place. Tonight we'll talk with someone who does exactly that. It's long been known that animals have a very therapeutic and healing effect on humans. God knew what he was doing when he put Adam and Eve in charge of the animal kingdom, giving them the privilege of naming them and caring for them. I believe inside every human heart is a God-shaped spot, people-shaped spot, and an animal-shaped spot, and only those can satisfy and fulfill the human heart. Disabled or traumatized war veterans are often assigned a dedicated animal friend to comfort them and assist them. The handicapped members of society often obtain much of their help and assistance from animals. Nursing homes now implement the companionship and the comfort of animals for their otherwise lonely and bedridden residents. And it's heartwarming to see the photos of a cat or a dog in the lap of an elderly person who's forgotten everything, everything except how to give and receive the love of a pet. There's just something very healing in the presence of an animal, in caring for an animal, and in receiving the unbiased and always present affection and devotion of a pet. Included in the many pets that are comforting to humans are the beautiful and incredible horses in our world. Horses have long been held in high esteem for their beauty, their quiet and noble demeanor, and their faithful devotion to their assigned human. To be able to win the trust of a horse, to be able to spend time grooming and caring for such an animal, and finally being able to ride like the wind on the back of a horse are among the greatest pleasures on earth. To care for a horse and to be its companion and trusted rider have a great soothing and healing effect on the trusted rider. Children who are wounded emotionally and will not respond to other humans will eventually respond to the companionship of a horse. Horses hold the key to a lock on many physically and emotionally wounded souls, and God uses these majestic animals wonderfully in many lives. My guest tonight is Debbie Cooley. Debbie and her husband, Dan, own and operate Old West Special Trails in Eads, Tennessee, which is their nonprofit ministry to many, many children. Debbie and Dan believe in the magic of horses and their healing effect on people. They also believe that every child, regardless of mental or physical challenges, and regardless of their financial status, deserve the chance to touch, groom, care for, and ride a horse. They spend their days giving children the incredible and joyful experience of caring for and riding horses, and they are changing those children's lives for the better. It's my pleasure to welcome Debbie Cooley of Old West Special Trails to Reflecting His Gifts. Hi, Debbie.
Hi.
How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Thank you for being on our show. I really love this subject tonight. I think horses are some of the most beautiful creatures on earth, and we're going to let you tell us all about them. I love your ministry, and what a joy it must be to work with two of the most beautiful beings on earth, horses and children. I know our listeners would love to hear about your early beginnings in life, for often our God-given purpose is revealed early on in the things we love and love to do. Would you tell us about your childhood and where you grew up, went to school, and did you love horses even then?
Sure, I'd be happy to. I grew up in West Memphis, Arkansas, later moved to Marion, Arkansas, and went to school at Marion. And yes, as a little girl, I always loved horses. I think most little girls do. I was blessed to get to have one. My parents were not horse people, so we did not live on a ranch, but like so many parents that really want their children to be happy and have things they want, my dad did get me a horse. Now, we had to drive. We lived across the bridge in Arkansas, but we drove every Saturday and Sunday to see the horses over in Germantown where we kept them. So I got to ride on the weekends.
That's wonderful. I had friends when I was a child who had horses, and I always wanted one of my own, but I never had one. So you're very blessed to have been able to have a horse and to be able to have a family who saw how special that would be for you. I know faith in God is very important to you. Debbie, when did you become a Christian, and how did that happen?
My mom took me to church. We went to First Baptist in West Memphis, Arkansas. And from the time I was a baby, we had a revival when I was 9 years old, and I accepted the Lord as my Savior that night there at the church. And my dad was saved shortly thereafter.
Wow.
So I was blessed to grow up in a Christian home.
That's wonderful. Did you stay with that faith all through the years, or did you veer away from it? I know so often I hear stories on here of people who became Christians when they were young and then kind of veered away from the faith a bit and then came back again to that faith into Jesus Christ. Did that happen to you, or did you just stay in that shepherd fold with Jesus all these years?
I think a lot of us maybe waver some, and I definitely have done that. But I was blessed to have the scriptures taught to me and grew up in the church. And I've always had a love for music as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in the children's choirs there. And actually, when I turned 16, I started teaching in the children's choirs and continued to do that as an adult through the years, and even was privileged to teach at Bellevue Baptist Church in the children's choir there too. So
that's
music,
wonderful.
Yes, and music's always been important to me. When I played the guitar just a little and was able to go to a cowboy church, and I got to actually be their worship leader for a little while. And so I've kind of always been there, and Jesus has always been my rock. And the music, God's music, has really kept me close to Him. Music has always been so important.
It's important to me as well. And you know what? I really admire a testimony like yours, because so many of us went down such a rugged path and went to such extreme and terrible depths to come back to Jesus. I was saved as a child too, but veered very terribly away from the faith, but God never let go of me. So I really admire a testimony like yours, that you just, you know, kind of stayed close to the Lord all your life. That is a blessing and a very powerful testimony. As a child, Debbie, what did you want to be when you grew up?
I always knew that I wanted to work with children.
Mm-hmm.
I did have horses as a child, but I never actually thought about putting children and horses together. But I knew that I wanted to teach, and I actually did teach in the Marion School District as an aide. I did not have my degree, and so I went to my children's classrooms because they, at the time, did not have music as a curriculum and did not have a music teacher. And so I took the music that I was teaching in the churches for the preschool choirs and changed it around a little bit and went to my children's classes and taught that in the schools. And pretty soon the other teachers up and down the hall started asking if I would come and do that. And then later the superintendent called me one day and said, "Would you like to get paid a little bit for what you're doing?" So I ended
wonderful.
Up doing it was great, and I ended up doing that for 10 years there at Marion and taught a little bit in the special needs classes there too. So I think as a child, I always knew I wanted to work with children. I love teaching, and then it wasn't until later that I put the teaching children and the horses together.
Well, I know what you do today, and we'll talk about that, but until you began this wonderful ministry, how did you meet your husband, Dan, and what were your careers? Has yours always been just teaching and working in the school system, or did you do something else? And what did Dan do? How did you meet, and what did you do until you became involved in your present ministry?
Well, yes. What I had done is really just worked in the school system. I did have a horse, and I was moving to Memphis, and I was looking for some place to board my horse. And that's how I met him. Dan had an 1860 stagecoach that he had restored. He had been doing some studying on the stagecoaches back then and that form of travel and all of that. And so he found a really old, old, broken-down stagecoach and restored it, and it was just beautiful. So at the time I met him, he was giving stagecoach rides around the country at state fairs. I just thought that was the coolest thing ever. We still have a stagecoach, but at the time he did have a business, and it was called Old West Stagecoach Lines. And that was about 22 years ago. So when I started boarding with him there where he had his horses, I asked him if I could go ahead and start teaching lessons there on horses. Now, in the meantime, while I was in Marion and West Memphis area, I had a friend named Robin McCarter who owned Triple R Ranch in Marion, Arkansas, and I started riding with her, and she allowed me to teach there. So I was doing that on the weekend and after school and loved it so much that when I moved to Memphis and I met him and started boarding with him, I asked if I could use my horse and start teaching children. And so that's how it all started, and it grew from there into we did lessons and summer camp for children, and it just kept growing. And so 20 years later, it's a pretty big business now, and God is so blessed. Yeah.
So you and Dan married somewhere during that those lessons and all that. Did you ever go out in a stagecoach?
We went away in the stagecoach after we got married. We got married on horseback.
I bet you did, and I could just imagine you in the stagecoach. That would have been a wonderful wedding theme, the stagecoach.
It was fun. It was great.
You said he still has the stagecoach out there?
He does, yes. Yes.
Well,
we used to do weddings and birthday parties and that with it, but we don't do that much anymore, so it's kind of just in the pasture for a prop, for looks, but people enjoy looking at it.
Well, Dan obviously shares your great love for horses, and you've described how horses were part of your life even before this ministry, so it's very obvious that God was using something, that great love he had placed in you, to begin to do a work for him. Debbie, tell us why horses have such a healing and calming effect on people. In other words, tell us all about horses and all their attributes and winning qualities.
Okay, I would love to. You know, there are so many people that are afraid of horses, because they're such large animals, and you do hear stories about people getting hurt, but horses are so forgiving. You know, sometimes people aren't, and horses are very loving. Just their movement is amazing, what God has done. And when I teach children, I don't just teach them how to ride. I teach them all about horses and the gift that God gave us. And there is a place in a horse's mouth that does not have any teeth, and it's on either side. We call it the interdental spot, and it's where we put the bit. And I think that God designed that in their mouth just so that we could ride. And that's just a small example.
I didn't know. I had no idea of that. It must be in kind of the mid area of the lower. Is it upper and lower?
Isn't
that amazing?
It is on either side of their mouth. And I tell children that because I want them to know what God has done for them and how he has made the horse so that we can enjoy them and we can use them. And I also teach lessons, life lessons, on my horses to children about obedience and discipline and how God wants us to obey, just like we want our horses to obey. And so almost everything about the horse can be used with a life lesson.
Yes, you're right.
They're amazing. But they're so loving, and they do have a calming effect on you. They have very large eyes.
Yes,
but
they're
just
beautiful.
Have a very, yes, and they're so kind. They have a kind look. And, you know, the thing that I love so much about these horses are they do not judge you. We and children and teenagers especially, I work with a lot of teenage girls. They get judged by their peers so much.
Mm-hmm.
And horses don't do that. They don't care what kind of clothes you have on. They don't care what your house looks like or what you drive. They love you anyway, and they're non-judgmental. And that is so important for these kids. I think we use that as another life lesson to teach them that you should be more like a horse and not be judgmental to other people. And so I think that is one of the calming effects. I think the kids don't have to feel that they have to be a certain way, you know, like other kids expect them to be. With a horse, they can just be themselves. And that's just the neatest thing of all. I had my pastor's wife was at Old West, and this was several years ago, but we were standing there talking, and we have a lot of horses, and everything was very calm and quiet, and all of a sudden, they all started running by, and they just ran past us, and I looked at her, and I said, "This is my office." And she said, "Oh, how blessed you are to have these magnificent animals, see them run." And every time I look at a horse, I just am reminded of how good God is to us and how he's given us that gift.
Yes. When you describe that about the horses running past like that, it brought back to my memory something I saw that I'll never forget as long as I live. You know, Shelby Farms used to have the fireworks out there, and I don't know if they still do or not, but one particular time, and you know they have horses out there as well.
Yes.
And we were parked kind of on the side that where you're going to Walmart from Shelby Farms. We were parked. And I think the horses were kind of afraid of the fireworks anyhow.
Absolutely.
Yes, they were. I felt really, really sorry for them. But what happened, I wish I had a picture of it, because what happened is the fireworks went off. I mean, a huge, huge blast of light. But silhouetted in that huge a blast of light for just a moment or two was this beautiful herd of horses running little and large and all kinds, and they were running back and forth, and I remember feeling so sorry for them because I knew they were frightened, but I remember thinking that is the most beautiful thing I think I've ever seen in my life. They are just, I think, one of the beautiful animals on earth.
Absolutely. They are.
What is your color horse? Do you have a favorite color one?
Oh, yes, I do. I like Palominos. Palominos are yellow, are golden in color, and they have a white mane and tail. That's probably my favorite.
I like the gray ones.
You know, one thing that,
I've seen some gray ones lately. What are they called?
But we just call them gray. The color is gray. Sometimes
they're
dapple
gray.
They are beautiful.
Yeah.
They really are.
Well,
you know, I'm reminded about something that Winston Churchill said. He said, "There is something about the outside of a horse that is good for the inside of a man." And I agree with that.
I think so, too.
Yes.
Some people, Debbie, are born horsemen and horsewomen. What do you call a person who rides a horse? An equestrian. Some people are born equestrians. riding just comes naturally to them, and others just can't seem to stay on a horse or handle them. Why is that, and is it possible for a person without a clue or a knack for handling a horse or staying on a horse, is it possible for them to be taught to ride one?
Absolutely. It is possible to have anybody ride a horse. You know, I think a lot of the reasons that people have problems with horses is because of fear. And it's okay to have a healthy fear of a horse. You should not just be really afraid, but they're large animals. And so I think if you do it right, that absolutely you can be taught. One of the first things that I teach is to go ask after we have them seated on a horse is just try to relax. Now, I know that's easier said than done. But one of the things I have my students do is take a really big, deep breath. If you do that and you relax your body and kind of let your life down, a horse can feel that. And the great thing that horses do for people is, and I will tell them they're going to do this before they do it, if they'll take a big, deep breath and blow it out slowly, and just sit for a minute, and they will wait. A horse will follow that. They will do the very same thing. They'll take a big, deep breath and let it out. And what they've done is they have said, I don't have to be afraid of you as a person because you have relaxed, and now I can relax. And it happens. It really does. And so that's one of the first things I teach, and it's amazing. And when the person sees the horse do that, they start to trust what I'm saying, and they start to relax, and that makes the horse relax even more. Then you're actually able to teach when you get past that fear. So I think anyone can learn if they would like, and if they just practice relaxing. And you can learn to feel your horse. Horses can feel whether you're tense or not. My horses can actually tell, because they've been with me so much, if I'm afraid, or if I'm worried about something, or even if I'm sad, because I can cry in their necks, and they allow me to do that. And they just know.
Oh, sweet.
So I think if you're a good listener and you want to learn, absolutely anybody can learn. I had an 80-year-old lady that had never ridden, and she was so afraid. And she came to me, and we worked and I had her on a little short horse, an older horse, and we had so much fun. She absolutely learned to love it. She didn't ride long, but she said, this was on my bucket list, and she did it and had a wonderful time and went away just very confident in saying, I did it. I learned to ride a horse. So,
isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Well, I love horses from afar, and like I said, I rode them when I was a child. The doctor next door had horses, and I used to ride ponies with his kids, and then one of my best friends had horses. But as an adult, I haven't been around them very much, and I love them from afar, but they're an animal I admire so much I would give anything to be able to ride. But this is what gets me, and tell me what you do about these two things. These are my two things that keep me from just jumping into that. If a horse starts running away with you, what do you do? What do you do if they start running and you're on the back and they won't stop? And the other thing is, what do you do if you start kind of sliding off the side? I've done that. I never know exactly how to move with the horse, you know.
Okay.
Can you tell us how
to? I can. I have wonderful answers for those. As a teacher, I took a course and I was certified to teach. But one of the things that you want to do, and I hear so many stories, first of all, never get on a horse that is not fully trained. So many people throw someone on a horse and the horse is not fully trained and the person does not have the right instruction. And so there's usually an accident. So be sure you get on a horse that's very well trained and listen to your instructor, and have a good instructor so they know what to tell you. But to stop a horse, if you lean forward in your saddle, it tells a horse to go. So I always tell my students, keep your shoulders up, keep your heels down, push with your heels and have your toes up. That's kind of a seat belt for you. Be sure you are balanced correctly over your horse. That means that you are right in the middle. Have someone check your saddle to be sure it is not loose. And so you're going to stay balanced and stay right in the middle and have the same amount of pressure on both sides of your stirrups. So you're pushing down with your heels the same amount on both sides. That should keep you right in the middle of your saddle. So if you know that the first thing is if your horse starts to go faster than you want, if you will slide your hands up closer to the mouth on the reins, and then you will pull low. Horses don't like hands all up in the air. And if you'll pull low, kind of to your jeans pocket or your knees, and you pull with both sides, don't squeeze. A lot of people get nervous and they'll squeeze their legs. That tells the horse to go. But don't squeeze and just pull and until the horse stops. If the horse continues to go, I teach all of my students before they're allowed to get out of the arena how to do an emergency stop or a one rein stop. And what we do with that, and this is after you've pulled and they won't stop, you slide one of your hands up on the reins, and it doesn't matter which, and start to pull the horse's head around. Now, you don't want to pull really super hard first. You're going to pull and continue that pressure on one side until they start to circle. That would be a large circle, and then you continue to pull until they make a smaller circle and smaller until they stop. That is called an emergency stop or a one rein stop, and it does work. Now, I don't put my students on any horse that has not been taught to do that. We teach our horses that, and we work with them, so I'm confident that they'll know what is going on, you know, when the person needs to pull. I wouldn't get on a two-year-old and put a five-year-old on a two-year-old because they just don't understand that yet.
So that
we teach that to our horses and our students, and it never fails. If the horse knows and the person pulls the horse in circles, the horse is going to stop.
Well, you sure sound like you know your stuff. I think I would trust you if I came over there for a lesson. I'd love to come. I might do that. Debbie, we're going to pause for just a few moments to hear a word from our sponsor about the exciting Woods End series from gifted author Alexandra Clare. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Sissy, before we do that, I just wanted to say my cousin Karen Stives, excuse me, she was an equestrian.
Wasn't she in the Olympics?
She was, and I'm just going to cry for a minute.
Oh, Alex, I'm sorry. I understand she recently passed away, but Alex had a cousin who was very, very accomplished as an equestrian, actually in the Olympics.
That's wonderful.
I'm glad you reminded us of that, Alex, and I'm so sorry that she passed away. I'm so sorry.
Well, I'm so enjoying the discussion.
I know you are.
I'm so glad you are.
The Woods End Series by Alexandra Clare. When Andrea is framed for murder, she discovers that divorce cannot sever the ties from a dangerous cult. Follow Boston Police Detective Jared Scheel as he sets out to solve a murder and kidnapping, only to confront a vast conspiracy competing to produce the last Antichrist of world history. Against the backdrop of drama and intrigue, the Woods End characters come to see that demons are on their last assignments. Bible prophecy unfolds in real time, and Jesus Christ is at the door. Two books, Woods End and the thrilling sequel, The Year Between the Wood. Download from Kindle, Nook, Screwpulp.com, or purchase the softcover at Amazon. Also by Alexandra Clare, a work of nonfiction, discerning spirits, visionary gifts, and practice. Find it all at AlexandraClare.com.
LifeQuest Christian Network.
Welcome
now
back.
Now that I'm past crying for a minute there, Sissy, I was just going to comment that that that's special. You know, it's an equestrian sport, or riding is a team sport, and I think that Debbie's bringing that out, and it's that relationship. The horse is as important as the rider.
Yes, it is.
It really is. And it's important to gain the horse's trust. And, you know, you can do that by being kind to the horse. And, you know, I know there are people who are not kind to horses, but if you are kind, horses learn from repetition and association. And if you continue to be kind to the horse and you always respect them and treat them very kindly, then they are going to learn to trust you. And that's, isn't that true with people? And isn't
it is.
That how we should have a relationship with our God?
Exactly.
You know, and so horses are so, they can teach us so many lessons about God.
I think to gain the trust of a horse would be one of the most wonderful feelings on earth, because I'm so in awe of them. I think they're so absolutely incredibly beautiful and majestic and large, like you say. To be able to be friends with a horse and to gain their trust would be very therapeutic for me. I'm an animal lover of all kinds of animals, and horses, like I said, I've loved from afar, but I would dearly love to just love on a horse. I think they're so wonderful. Debbie, what about all those wonderful tricks and feats that we see equestrians perform with horses? Do you teach things like that at Old West Special Trails too, like the barrel racing or some of the other things? What can a person learn to do at your ranch besides just ride a horse?
Yes, we do that. We start by just teaching stop, start, and steer. And then we advance as the rider would like to. I have some that come to me that are already very accomplished and want to know more, and then I have some that have never been on a horse. And so we take you from where you are. We do teach barrel racing, and I know that's a sport that ladies do in rodeo and in
right.
horse shows. And we start little ones doing that if they'd like to. And so, there are techniques about learning all of that. You really need to have patience with that, and it takes a lot of time. I have a girl at my barn who is now 20. She started at Old West at 12 years old. She got a horse, and it took her 3 years to do this. But she can ride her horse bareback and bridleless.
Oh my goodness.
She rides only with her body and her feet. Her name is Hannah. Her horse's name is Cowboy. She has performed all over the Mid-South. And she jumps with him. She runs. She spins. She's taught him to bow. And all of this is with no hands.
Wow.
It's wonderful to see. She's just one with her horse. It did take her 3 years to do that. And that took a lot of love, patience. When you start with a horse, you need to be very quiet with your body and not whipping and jerking and just very quiet. That helps to gain their trust. And then they listen to you, and they will do what you say. But we do teach different things, whatever they would like to do. Now, we are a
right.
Western barn, so we don't really teach English. I do have one English teacher, and I don't know very much about English. So I really think that you should know a lot about what you're teaching before you do it. So I used to be a barrel racer, so I'll stick with the Western and the barrel racing. But we do have students who do come to us and want to ride English and jump, and so we do a little bit of that.
What is English? That isn't where you sit on the side of the saddle.
I don't see how
you could stay on.
That's riding side saddle. That's what they used to do in the 1800s.
Can you do that?
Well, yes, I can do that, but I don't do any jumping side saddle. I have a summer camp. I do 10 weeks in the summer. With children, and we teach them all kinds of things. And then at the end of the week, we have a show for their parents to come watch what they've learned.
Isn't that wonderful?
And one of the things, and we've been doing this for 20 years, so we've gone through thousands of children. Yeah. One of the things that we teach for the show is riding side saddle so their parents can see that. So they have fun. Yeah, they have fun doing that in a Western saddle. But English saddle is a lot different. English mm-hmm. is the jumping. English riders are wonderful. I'm pretty sure that's what Alex's cousin did because that's what they have at the Olympics. They have wonderful discipline and posture, and I love to get an English rider because they are marvelous. Sometimes us Western riders are a little sloppy, but the English riders are wonderful riders. They have less leather. They don't have saddle horns on their saddles, and so they're really wonderful riders. But you know, I think one of my favorite things that I see with my students, adults and children, is the look on their face when they accomplish something. They need that. They have peers and brothers and sisters and different things in their lives that are so negative. And they'll say, you know, you're too fat, you're too skinny, you don't know anything, you know, and all of those things they hear so much. When they accomplish something on a horse and we praise them for that, their face just lights up. And, you know, they may not be a wonderful student. They may struggle with grades or struggle with other things, but the smallest thing, like we can just have them stop, and when they accomplish that, it is a wonderful feeling. I'm always sure. And I teach my teachers, because I have other teachers, that if they have built self-esteem and they have praised that child a lot during the lesson, then they go home, the child goes home, even the adult goes home feeling better about themselves when the lesson is over than when they came, then we've accomplished what we set out to do. It's not that we need to be the best riders. What we want to do is use the horses as tools that God gave us to build that self-esteem and that self-confidence, and so those are the tools we use to do that.
Well, I had a guest on not long ago who heads up a ministry for autistic children. Her son had autism, and that's why she actually began to develop this ministry and went back to school. But, you know, she said that many things can heal a child, and one of those things is to be around other people who can lift up their self-esteem. And her whole theme of her ministry is no small victories. And what she said is that any victory in an autistic child's life is a big victory. There are
absolutely
no small victories. And so you're describing sort of the same concept in children who have absolutely no self-esteem or who have broken hearts or emotions. The smallest victory in being able to master a horse, to be able to ride a horse, to be able to groom a horse, that's very healing, isn't it?
It's so healing. I have seen children that have, I had a young teenage girl that came to us years ago, and I did not know her story, but you can tell by just their body language. She would look at the ground. She never looked up at us. I couldn't get her to talk to us, but we got her on a horse. And it took a really long time of praising and praising. And soon that horse became her friend. And she learned to ride. She started talking to us.
Wow.
She would look at us, and I heard her giggle and laugh. And it was just, she went on to be one of my teachers and started training horses for us. And we found out later that she had been sexually abused, and that there were so many bad things in her life. But that horse and the praise of what had happened with her brought her out of that jail. I have so many stories like that. That is our reward. That is why God wants us to do what we do. Of course it is.
Of course it is. And you know what? I think that if a child like that becomes friends with a horse, how can they be afraid of anyone else? Because a horse is really like the ultimate animal, the majestic, beautiful animal. If you win the affection and the trust of a horse, of course that would give you confidence because you're seeing yourself in that horse's eyes, in that horse's heart, in that horse's trust. And I've found that when you find your self-worth in something or someone like that, it generates toward your relationships with other people. So we all need to find that something or someone, and if it's a horse that releases that confidence and brings back that self-esteem to a child, what a wonderful thing that would be to see.
That's right. That it is. It's wonderful. We do summer camps for children, like I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a young man one time that his mother made him come. He did not want to come to camp. Mm-hmm. She did not want to deal with him in the summer. And so she made him come, and he had an attitude from the first minute. And one day we got him on a horse, and I was walking beside him, giving some instruction and trying to praise him. And he just started yelling at me and said, "I don't want to be here and I don't want to do this." And so he ended up spitting in my face.
Wow.
And so what I did was I said, "Hang on just 1 minute." And I left and I went and got my precious husband. And Dan came, and he is a very, very kind, sweet man, and he walked over to him, and I wanted to pull him off the horse and step on him. I didn't do that, of course, but my husband walked up to him and said, "Let's make this horse go. Let's work with this horse. I need you to help me with this horse. I need your help." And he worked with him for the next hour, just the two guys. And when it was all over, the young man ended up wanting to come every day. He loved it. He ended up apologizing to me at the end of the week. And we found out that his mother had been very abusive to him. And what had happened then was he took that out on me. But you know what? God sent him to us.
Yes,
and
he did.
What was in my heart was not what I was supposed to do, and thank goodness I didn't
do
it. That was in the flesh. But God used us, my husband, that horse, to love that young man, to put God's arms around him, and it was a time when he needed it so much. So those are, again, those are the rewards that we have when we use these horses.
Isn't that awesome?
We work with special needs children. I didn't know if you knew that, but we have special needs classes as well as typical children and adults, not just children. But I have a young man who started with us about 5 years ago who is now about 26. He has cerebral palsy, and he's in a wheelchair, and he's never walked. And he comes to ride our horses. And he's delightful. He doesn't talk, but he laughs. And so his mother wants to have his pictures made every year on the horse because that's when he's the happiest.
Yes,
but
he's
very, very stiff when he starts with us. And we have a hard time getting his legs down. But as the movement of the horse goes, this young man starts to loosen up. And he starts to relax, and his muscles, the movement of the horse has his muscles just relaxing.
It
is wonderful to see. His therapist called me one day, and he said, "I want to know what you've done to him." And I got really scared. I was like, "I don't know what's wrong with him. Is he okay?
No.
What has happened?" And he said, "I want you to know, this young man, since he has been riding horses, took his very first step today."
Oh,
and
Debbie.
I just cried.
I'm about to cry now. That is such a wonderful story.
I was so excited. The therapist said, I know that it's the movement of the horse. He didn't do it alone. He had people helping him, and he had a walker, but it was his first step. And he said, I know it's what has happened with the movement of the horse has helped his muscles so much. So, and we work with autism children. And I've got a young man that just, when he comes, he gets out of the car and he runs and screams. And he does that, his mom says, all the time. And the minute he gets on that horse, he just lays down on the horse and feels the horse and the movement. He's so quiet and loving it. And just, you can see God working. And
yes,
so his mother says, can I take the horse home with me?
Oh, no. So, but isn't that incredible and beautiful?
It's wonderful. It's wonderful.
That God
and
that's
would
why use we call
those
it
animals.
A ministry. Yes,
yeah.
It is a ministry.
Yeah.
I had no idea. My neighbors, the Rangels, Angie and Raphael, and their three girls come out there, and that's how I found out about you. They talk about going out to feed the horses and riding the horses, and I see these wonderful, happy pictures of the girls on their horses. And I asked Angie, you know, I would love to talk to her, and that's how I got connected with you. But I had no idea there was something like this going on just down the road from me because I don't live far from you. Debbie, how do you maintain your ranch? I understand it is a nonprofit. Oh, my goodness. And you mentioned before the show that you have 91 horses out there.
We do.
Where do you
we
find
have 91.
Those horses? Where do you find them? How do you obtain them? And how do you provide their upkeep and the upkeep of that ranch?
Well, not all of the horses belong to our business. We have boarders. We board horses for people who live in the city and don't have a place for their horse. And it is kind of a magical place. My husband and I pray every day that God would put a hedge of protection around the land and the horses and the people, and he does that. But I had a boarder one time that said, you can just feel something when you first come in the gate. And I know what that is. That's the Holy Spirit. But
yes, it
you know,
is. I'm so glad to hear you say that. This is
yes.
just making my heart very happy.
And it is a peaceful place. It is a
yes.
very beautiful, peaceful place. And so we have that many horses because we do have so many boarders. We have about 45 families that board with us. Most of them have children, not all of them. But we have a lot of teenage girls, and they are precious. We are a family. We go to eat together. We have parties together. We have Bible studies together. We pray together, and we get to ride together. And it is a fun. We have shows out there, and it's a really fun thing. We have about 30 horses that we've acquired over the years for teaching. And a lot of those now are older. They are retired, and we don't teach on them anymore. They're too old. But we still have them and still take care of them. Our boarders are wonderful. They
yes.
not only pay for boarding out there, but they help us with so many
yeah.
things.
Yes.
And so, really, I will just be really honest with you. We do not make enough money in what we do with our lessons and our boarding and the summer camps and the things that we do to provide for Old West. We have never been in the black, so to speak. We've always been in the red. What we do to get by is my husband builds barns and fences. He does construction for other people, and he pours that money into that. His heart is yes, and he would love to do what I do. He would like to get to be there and see the miracles that happen, but he loves the business and he loves the children. And so he goes out and works every day to maintain and pay the bills because we don't do that enough. Now, in the beginning, we were not nonprofit, but My husband said, we're really nonprofit anyway, we might as well make it legal. So we obtained our 501c3 and became nonprofit. We got a nonprofit status, hoping that we would get donations and grants so that we could do what we need to do. We do not own the land. We're on 94 acres. The gentleman that owns the land is very, very kind. He's been so, so good to us. He has let us stay there for very little. All we do is pay his taxes. And that's very generous. But he has come to a place that he is going to need to sell the land. It is for sale. We, in 20 years, we have moved 8 times. And each time we rented the land. And we started all over. We had no fence post, no barn, no anything. My husband's built it all. But when we have to leave it, we have to start all over again. So I think that's why we never really were able to gain the money we needed to keep the business going. So at this point, we are trusting God. We always have.
Yes.
We love to buy the land. He would like $1 million for it. It's in a great location, but we have worked and saved and tried. We have $5,000 to in that account to try to buy that, and that's just a little drop in the bucket. So if the land sells, then we have no idea where we're going to go, and we don't know what we're going to do. But God told Moses to go, and he didn't know either. So we're just trusting. We just don't believe that our time is over and our ministry is over. And so we are trusting God to bring the money to us to buy that land or to give us a place where he wants to be next. So
absolutely. I can't
so
help but believe that God wants to do that for you, because as I hear these stories of what the horses are doing in children's lives and changing children's lives, even the physically handicapped to be doing better in their conditions and emotionally and physically, and just that God's in this and that you have Bible studies and things, I would think that this would be a very worthy ministry to donate to. How could people do that, Debbie? How can people contact you? I know I'm going to be praying about your ministry because my heart has just been very, very happy as I've listened to you. And I just know that God's in this. So I'm going to be praying for you. But how can our listeners find out more about your ministry? And how maybe to donate to your ministry? What do you need? How can they donate? What do you need people to do to help you?
Well, of course we need money. We'd like to buy the land first. We do not have electricity or running water out there. We have a big generator that we bring water up from a well. And that generates our electricity. So, but the first thing we'd like to do is buy the land so that we get to stay there. In order to do that, of course, we need donations, or we understand, we don't know how to write a grant, and so that would be a wonderful thing. To contact us, you could go to www.oldwestspecialtrails.org, or my email address is cowgirldebbiecooley@yahoo.com. And my cell is 901-490-5555. My husband's number is 901-485-4103. And so that's how you can contact us. And there are numerous things that you could do to help. I really think that I had a little girl today that brought some money to me, about $6 bills and some change, and it had glitter on it. And
glitter?
She said, glitter. And she said to me, "Miss Debbie, this is money I've been saving for your land." And she handed me that money. And I, you know, I told her, I said, have you ever heard the story about how Jesus multiplied the fish and the loaves of bread? And she said, yes. And I said, he can do that with this money. Thank you so much. So, you know, it's a very special thing that we'd like to continue. And so we're just trusting God that we need your prayer support as well.
Yes.
There are people that may not be able to support us financially, but they sure could pray for us to be able to work it out and just our safe, the children's safety. And, you know, we've had people saved in our Bible study. So people come to know Jesus through this ministry is probably the most important thing we do.
Yeah.
And so there are just so many ways that people could help us.
Well, do you encourage volunteers? Do you encourage volunteers to come and help you at OS Trail?
Yes.
Like, what if I wanted to come help feed horses or groom horses? Would you let me do that?
I would let you do that. We've got older horses who no one has time for. You can imagine 91 horses.
Oh,
And our older horses need to be brushed. They need their manes and manes and tails untangled and just loved on. They'd love to have a carrot. You know, there are things like that. We would love to have help with our vet bills, with their feet care, and just in the winter we put waterproof blankets on them when it's going to be sleeting, and just help putting those on, help getting those washed. There are so many things, you know, that can be done. So, absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. Well, where are you located? Where is the ranch?
We are in Eads, Tennessee. We are on Collierville, Arlington, and it is in between Highway 64 and Macon Road. And the address is 1556 Collierville, Arlington, in Eads. We are on a gravel road pretty far back off of Collierville, Arlington. But there's a sign right out there on the road that helps. And then you can always contact us.
Yes. Well, Alex and I are going to have to come out there and see you sometime.
Cause please do.
I think I would like to brush your horses and just love on them. I think that would be very healing for my heart as well. Debbie, before we go tonight, I'd like to pray for you because I just feel really strongly that this ministry is a very important ministry. And I would just like to ask God to bless you and to grow this ministry and to provide for you. If you don't mind, is that okay?
Please do. That would be wonderful.
Lord God, I just thank you for this wonderful lady, Debbie Cooley, and her husband, Dan. And I thank you for their obvious love for you, for Jesus Christ, for others, for children, and for these beautiful horses. And for not just keeping horses to themselves, Lord, but giving the gift of horses to others, to love, to ride, to grow relationships with, to heal hearts, wounded hearts and minds, even physically impaired bodies, Lord. This is such an important ministry. I just am amazed that it exists not far from me, and I didn't know, and I'm sure many people didn't know. But, Lord, you knew, and you know what Debbie and Dan need to keep this going, God. And there's so much bad in this world. There are so many horror stories of violence and abuse and neglect of animals and abused children. And, Lord, here's a ministry that is trying very, very hard to lift up these beautiful animals and to lift up the children who interact with them. Father God, we just come to you tonight and we ask you to provide for Debbie and Dan what they need to keep this ministry going. We ask somehow you're going to be able to let them stay where they are and to be able to get this land and to be able to continue to minister to these wonderful children and to take care of these wonderful, beautiful animals. I pray you give Debbie strength and stamina in her body and her mind, soul, and spirit, and Dan as well. I pray you grow his fence building and barn building business. Just bless them for their kind and generous and sweet hearts, Lord. Keep the children safe out there. I pray you
put angels all around that ranch, Lord, at Old West Special Trails to guard and direct and guide and protect all the children and the animals and Debbie and Dan. Lord, we just praise your name tonight for this precious ministry and for this precious lady. And we ask these things tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so
and
much.
You're so welcome. Well, I'm sad to say we've come to the close of another wonderful program, and Debbie's ministry is one of a kind and so incredibly important and beautiful. I encourage our listeners to go to Debbie's website to find out ways to get involved in this wonderful work and maybe even to enroll your child in her summer camps or riding lessons. God is definitely using Debbie and Dan Cooley and those beautiful horses to change lives. God bless you, Debbie, and thanks for sharing your life and ministry with us tonight. Join me again next time when I'll be talking with another inspiring guest who reflects God's gifts. Till then, may God keep you in his tender care. Good night, Debbie. Good night, Alex. And good night, listeners.
Thank you.
Thank you.